Okay, everyone, you're joining us again here on Championship Drill. This is our first midweek show after the first lot of midweek games. Jerry and Phil are here as always. How are you guys?
Very good.
All good.
So I suppose we'll just start out with midweek football. It was great to have it back, wasn't it? To have a few games, to be able to watch a few live games.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch any Champions League this week. I just watched the Championship.
I was just watching the United game, but that's just... Besides that, I kept an eye on Sheffield Wednesday last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah. And Jerry, on the other night, you were watching Liverpool, I suppose.
I was. If it wasn't for Fabinho, we would have been defeated 3-0, I'd say. Fabinho was the star man, thankfully.
And the night before, obviously, we had the Norwich game on. So you would have got to see some of that, at least.
Yeah, it was a good game.
So it's good that way. So I was able to watch a few more matches that way. But it's good to have the football back, isn't it? And seeing the highlights and the goals and anything can happen midweek.
Yeah, any result can happen midweek is crazy.
And then they play again a couple of days later, and then they're going again.
I mean,
they're going to be playing like four games in a week or something, or you know, six games in 2 weeks or something mad like that.
That's the way it should be.
crazy out there, or five games in 2 weeks maybe. And the big game Friday, I suppose we should look ahead to before we go into the midweek results. This is going to be, what day are we today, guys? Thursday?
Thursday
recording. Handy if I knew what day it was. But this will probably come out on Thursday, so the game will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
As they call it locally now, the El Clásico, as a nod to the El Clásico, the East Midlands Derby between Derby and Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest at home for this one. One of the big derbies in England. I mean, it goes way back, well over 100 years. Yeah. Back into the 1880s was the first time they played each other.
It's some rivalries in the 80s when Klopp was around.
And I think they play for the Ryan Cup trophy now as well, obviously, because he's a legend of both clubs. It's great to have these big derbies though, isn't it, in the Championship, and it's rated as one of the biggest derbies across Europe as well. But it is such a classic derby game, and the fans really don't get along. They really don't like each other. It is a big deal for whoever wins it.
Just as well the fans are banned from the stadium.
And we have it. I mean, it's kind of like there hasn't been a lot of goals in these games the last few years. I think the last one was 1-1, I remember, earlier this season or earlier last season or when it came back or whenever the game was on, I believe it was 1-1. Which was the first time Derby had scored a goal in like five games in this match. But before that, there was a few nil-alls. There was a couple of 1-0 wins for Forest. Very few goals. But that might change, hopefully, tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was thinking there would be a lot of goals. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in it.
Yeah, I think so. It's the year of the underdogs, I think that's. I think I've said it. The underdogs of every sport will shine as long as COVID's around. But it's just, I think we're going to see goals. I think it's like one of them training games where they'll hit goals for fun, and I'm hoping it's a 4-2 game.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
Forrest, they could have gotten you up 4 points in two games under Hughton. He's known as an Irish connection here, the luck of the Irish. Yeah. You know? It's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
The only thing after watching Forrest, they made so many chances and they just cannot score.
A lot of chances they can't score. Yeah, we'll go into that game there later on. But obviously, Derby, we talked about it at the weekend. If they were to lose to Huddersfield, the pressure that will be on in this game tomorrow night, and they go out midweek and they lose to Huddersfield. I know the board stuck by Kaku and whatever the owners did, but I mean, it puts huge pressure. Derby also are now, they slip underneath Barnsley and drop into relegation on goal difference at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's only, a point between the two teams as well?
So it's
a massive, massive game for Derby, especially, you'd imagine.
You said it, I think it was the last episode, Steve, you said it, like Huddersfield are the dark horses. They're slowly kicking on.
They're close. Slowly going about their business.
Yeah, they're ninth in the table, like, you know what I mean? They're slowly coming up, like, and that's when a team are dangerous. Like, they're only 1 point off that top six, like.
Yeah,
they're getting there. But Derby, I mean, if Kaku was to go out and they were to lose, probably won't happen. But let's say they were hammered, like they lost 3-0, 4-0 on Friday night in the Derby game. I mean,
he's gone.
I know the owner is not blaming him, he's sticking with his man, but I mean, they've lost how many games they have now? Lost five, 1-1.
Yeah.
And if they were to lose the Derby game, to lose six of their first seven games, being beaten by your closest rivals.
They're also, they're also very close to Sheffield Wednesday, who were minus 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll come to Wednesday a bit later. Very unlucky.
And Rooney's in the bad books now, so he won't get the manager's job.
Well, he's doesn't he have to isolate because something.
He has to isolate, and we'll come to that kind of crazy situation where he tested negative, but is still going to miss three games.
Yeah.
As it is, but we'll see what happens with Rooney when he comes back in, probably midweek next week or the weekend after. Maybe he'll be the manager by the time he gets to play again.
Stay away from it, Wayne. Stay away from it.
But we'll move into the games anyway. Tuesday night, Bristol City home to Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough going away with the 1-0 win there. Saville with the goal from Burrough with the only real shot on target. I think there was another one earlier in the game.
Yeah.
And it was on target that the keeper saved after a massive deflection. Bristol City's first defeat of the season as well.
They were very unlucky that there wasn't a penalty at the end of the game.
Yeah, McNair's push on Dickinson.
That could have been given any day.
They're going to be very disappointed, though, aren't they, with the goal they gave away?
Oh, yeah.
Moore just tried to overplay it at the back. Saville took it off him, and that was that. Overall, I suppose, Burrough slowly as well, like you talked about Huddersfield a minute ago, Jerry, slowly going about it. Huddersfield are the same. They're slowly climbing up that table.
And they're a good manager as well. No, I was just saying they're a good manager as well.
Yeah. It's like Bristol City have realised that they were top of the league and everything was going so well. And now it's like they froze. The international break, as you said, lads, there, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Massive. It changes when you come back as well.
It is. When you think Bristol City, 4 wins out of 4 going into it, one point from 2 games since it.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference.
There was a great statistic before the game. There was, they asked thousands of people who'd win the game.
Yeah,
44% of the people said Bristol. There was 42% said a draw, and 14% said Middlesbrough.
It's crazy because you would have had the money, I suppose, on Bristol City.
Oh,
definitely a penalty though, like we said, so they can count themselves unlucky a bit there.
Yeah,
the push in the back. So then there was a game that was kind of an interesting one: Coventry and Swansea. Another point for Coventry as they're going to try and pick up as many as they can, I suppose, get saved from relegation as early as they can. Shipley put Coventry one up. IU again for Swansea.
Yeah.
Both teams had great chances. O'Hare had a few good ones for Coventry. He probably should have done better with.
Yeah.
Draw, probably a fair result though. Very for the even enough game. And two great goals.
Yeah. The first goal was really good.
Yeah, I'd have to watch Shipley's goal again. I still don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
The ball seemed to go. It was like, you know, those old plastic balls you'd buy in the shop for pound or a euro or whatever. And you'd hit it with the outside of your foot, but it would curve the other way for some reason.
He
pretty much did that with the football. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
It seemed to defy physics, whatever way he hit the ball. It seemed to go the opposite way it should have.
He read the Roberto Carlos book, I think.
Yeah.
But again, Coventry were very good at home. They always will be, like, every year.
Yeah.
I love Coventry, lads. Yeah. When it's all said and done, next year, hopefully, we'll get over to a Coventry game.
Yeah. And maybe it's something about Birmingham have been decent enough at home as well. And Coventry, of course, play their home games in that stadium. So maybe there's something about playing in Birmingham that makes the home teams good. And Villa, of course, flying in the Premier League as well. Maybe they're in the water in Birmingham these days.
Yeah.
We'll move on then to the game we were talking about there a minute ago, Huddersfield Derby. Bakuna with the goal for Huddersfield. So much pressure now on Cocu in the East Midlands Derby coming up. But the owner backed him in a weird way. He was saying, look, it's not Kaku's fault, it's not the tactics, it's not the training, it's not the players. We've had injuries up front. Rooney had to have a COVID test. It tested negative, but for some reason still has to isolate and miss three games. And so it's a tricky one. Huddersfield, though, looking very good. Their goal was very good, and they look so, we talked about the weekend, they just seem to look so well drilled now under the manager.
There's a guy there called Jonathan Hogg. He's a great player, great engine in him. He's doing a lot of damage there for Huddersfield at the moment. Pippa, he's not a bad defender either. And there's a lad called Naby Serre. I wonder if he's related to Serre that plays with Watford.
He's quality. Like,
they're going about it nicely.
But the Corberan, the job he's done there. It's amazing what he's done, isn't it?
He's incorporated that kind of Spanish kind of, you know, European style.
I mean, the goal they scored was something that you'd nearly see Barcelona do.
So,
they just passed and moved the ball around.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant goal. I actually didn't
think it would take this long to get them going like this, to be fair.
Yeah, and he's got to get massive credit for that, and you know, he's done very well.
But it was actually like gives a ball, so he moved to put him in there.
It was, you know, and it was. I suppose he'd been at Leeds before their current manager. He'd been a coach there. You know, he worked through the coaching system. He became his assistant manager. Leeds got promoted. Dog. Leeds are going into the Premier League. So it was kind of a ballsy move from the manager as well to decide to leave Leeds to take over Huddersfield rather than, you know, be that assistant in the Premier League.
This is his first ever job.
I think he's managed before. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, but I think he has. But it was kind of a big move on his part to say, look, I'm gonna take it on. I'm gonna take on Huddersfield, who struggled last season.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna leave Leeds.
Yeah.
You know? I suppose it shows what kind of a character he is, I suppose.
Yeah.
And Huddersfield have to be delighted now with the appointment, because it's one of those start of season you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought this was, again, we come to a later performance of the week, Millwall against Luton. Crane OG, Mahoney for Millwall, and Millwall just destroyed them. I mean, this could have been 8-0.
Oh, yeah.
Millwall, I haven't seen them play that well in years.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as I said, like, Luton are going to go flat down.
They have 3 wins out of 3, now 3 defeats in a row, something like that.
I reckon it'll be continue. I think they'll lose again at the weekend.
Yeah, it's a tricky one for them. But what about Millwall? Matt Smith, who started the last couple of games, he's always going to be good and dangerous in the air.
Yeah.
And he put in some shift yesterday. I know he didn't get on the score sheet. But to have him still around at the club, still doing what he's doing for Millwall, is amazing.
Yeah,
it's unreal. Unreal. Mahoney as well is like Gary Rowe was on about him, that he could be as good as anyone.
Yeah, they're a great club, all that. They're a great club.
Once they get Parrott back as well, they'll be flying it. Like,
yeah, they get Parrott back, and if he can, you know, if he can settle and he can start scoring, you know, you're looking at a player that could get them 10, 15 goals after Christmas.
Yeah,
and that could be a huge difference in them making the playoffs.
Yeah,
they have a gem as well, centre back. He man, Jay Cooper. He's unreal. He's no nonsense. You know what I mean? He's a very good defender. Like. But Millwall are a great club. Like, I think it'd be great for the game alone to see them back in the Premier League in another year or two, especially when the fans are back.
Yeah.
You know, imagine being drawn away against Millwall.
Yeah.
And bring the young kid over with you, like.
it's been so long since Millwall have been there.
The only thing people realise is with West Ham and Millwall is that Green Streets.
Yeah.
You're no so nonsense. Millwall,
I remember Millwall playing in the top division. I can remember that far back.
Is that late 80s?
In the 80s, yeah. They were flying in the league in the like 95, 96 season, I think it was, or maybe it was around there. Yeah. I think it was the 95, 96 season. Mick McCarthy was the manager. They were top of the championship. Everything was looking good. Ireland came in. Mick left, went to Ireland, and Millwall just nosedived after Mick left. And I don't think they've been... had as good a chance of going up since. They've had a few years where they've, you know, come close to the playoffs or missed out on that, and last season they did pretty well. They were pushing for it for a long time. But this year seems like it could be their year.
Yeah.
It's the same. When Mick leaves any club, lads, it sinks.
And he's not shy about telling you that either. So when you look at what's happened to Ipswich since he's left there.
Yeah. Even Sunderland.
That's it, Sunderland as well. And we won't mention Wolves because they're kind of doing all right.
Yeah.
Norwich, Birmingham, 1-0 win for Norwich here. Rancic, Ida with the assist, if you can call it that. It kind of more hit off him than anything.
Yeah.
And this was one of the live games we got to watch the other night. Cantwell was very, very good.
Yeah.
But he missed some chances. He could have had 6 goals.
All his players were raging at him because he should have passed a few of those.
There was a few of them where he should have passed. There was one that was particularly funny where he went down in the box, dived in the box. The play kind of broke to him. Somehow the ball came to him while he was lying on the floor, and he jumped up quickly and shot, even though he was lying in agony about 5 seconds before that.
He
did score a goal.
I was disallowed.
In the second half, which was ruled out rightly for offside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, Birmingham, you know, Clayton got sent off for 2 yellow cards very late on in the game.
I think it was the red. I think it was.
Yeah. I mean, it was two yellows, and the second one was definitely yellow. He knew it himself.
Yeah.
But they conceded right after he was sent off with only about 2-3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And they just lost their shape a little. I mean, it probably was a draw they wouldn't have deserved.
No.
But Scott Hogan should be doing a lot better up front for
Yeah.
He should be doing a lot more, you know.
Yeah. He doesn't score that many goals these days.
No, I mean, their final ball was just atrocious.
Yeah.
You know, when they did get possession, and they didn't have it a lot because Norwich were very good. They just didn't seem to be able to find a way through. And when they did, they just missed so many chances.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Birmingham, though, will be okay. I mean, they were right in the game the whole way. They couldn't get that final pass right. So they live to fight another day, I suppose. Then Nottingham Forest won, Rotherham won. Fairlaser for Rotherham. Sammy Amiobi, which will play for Forest.
Amiobi.
Looking good.
If I was Chris Hughton, I'd be going absolutely nuts with the amount of chances
that they're missed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, missed a lot of chances.
Crazy amount.
Rotherham had their chances as well. I think Forest will probably feel they should have won the game.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, all in all, Rotherham were decent enough to deserve a draw.
Yeah.
In that one. But Forest definitely had the better of the chances.
100%. Like Amiobi, we all remember Amiobi's brother. I think he played at Newcastle. He was there. He's up there with Alan Shearer when it comes to Newcastle legends. But Forest definitely looked like they're on the up already. Hughton's kind of changed it. They're definitely creating more chances. They just look like a team you want to watch again.
Yeah, and that's kind of big going into Friday night because they can really deliver a hammer blow to Derby now, which they'd love. But at the same time, if Derby were to go and beat Forest, you know, suddenly they'll climb above Forest and it could be a bit of doom and gloom around Forest again. Rotherham, though, are having a very solid season.
Yeah. One win, kind of one loss kind of a thing.
That kind of a thing, yeah. And they're picking up the odd points here and there, which they're going to need if survival, I suppose, is still the main aim for Rotherham this season.
I'm still kind of surprised that Salier's on the bench. Surprised he's not staying. Maybe it's a match fitness thing now. I don't know. But like,
he's been in and out of the team, and you know he does okay when he comes in. So I don't know. Maybe there is a fitness thing there we're not aware of. Maybe he's not fully up to it at the moment, or maybe he's just not up to playing 3 games in a week anymore.
Yeah, and Ogbeni obviously still. We said it last week. Ogbeni is a huge loss.
He's going to be a big loss for them. Massive. And I mean, you're probably looking at like February before he's back.
Yeah,
if not later. Reading then, who go top of the league with another win for them. Lucas Yeo, great way he took that, the way he controlled that ball.
That goal was quality. That might be my favourite goal of the weekend.
It was very good. Wickham were unlucky. They just didn't take their chances again. But I think this was probably one of their better performances.
I don't know why they keep trying to shoot from outside the box.
Yeah, they seem to want to always score from
outside. Yeah, they took a lot of long shots and I don't know why yet. It's just...
The end where it was launched forward to Akinfenwa.
Yeah.
And he competed for it. The ball more hit him in the back of his head when he wasn't looking.
Yeah.
And went down to the Wickham player. And again, like you said, from outside the box, he had a shot, which, you know, he missed. But I think Wickham had
they
deserved a draw, really.
I mean,
they probably had the better chances in the game.
Yeah.
But they have to start taking them, but they will surely get that win. But Reading, again...
Solid.
Flying it.
Yeah.
Like they've got now 5 wins and a draw in the first 6.
Perfect start.
Yeah.
You know? So they're flying it. They're going to be delighted with that one.
But to get that win again after the international break is really, really important.
And it's tough, yeah. I mean, like Bristol, they got the point at the weekend and then now they're back with a win again. But Wickham, they're going to get that win eventually, aren't they? They can't lose every game this season, can they?
I've never seen it happen before, so I don't know.
Not a chance.
They have to win eventually. Surely.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be this weekend. Who knows? There'll be mad celebrations. And Cardiff against Bournemouth. Solanke with the goal for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Before Wilson. I think it was his first start, wasn't it? Since he joined.
Yeah. First game, yeah.
With a leveller for Cardiff. Bournemouth started really well, but Wilson probably could have put Cardiff in front after about 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he shot wide.
Yeah. He also prepared for that one.
Smitty's in the Cardiff goal though. Solanke had a chance, and I still don't know how he saved it.
Yeah,
it is the save of the season. I don't think there's any save anywhere in the world is going to be better than it this season. I have no idea how he managed to save that ball.
Yeah, I'd
say Solanke is still wondering how it didn't go in.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would have been 2-0 at the time, and that probably would have been over. So that was the big turning point in that game, really.
Yeah.
Wilson looked very good, though. He had a lot of chances. His shooting wasn't the greatest at times, but he did get the goal in the end. Missed a few chances. What did he hit? About seven, eight goals last season for Bournemouth League?
Yeah. So I reckon he'll get over 10 this season, definitely.
Yeah. So it's a great start for him.
Yeah.
Just ground running that way. Solanke, you know.
Wilson, I know Solanke really should have kicked off at Liverpool. He did, obviously, at Bournemouth, he kicked off towards the end of last season. I think he's going to do well in the Championship. But lads, how Harry Wilson is back in the Championship with Cardiff is beyond me.
It's criminal,
that man, it's a catastrophe. Yeah. Like, he was actually at Bournemouth last year, and he done so well. He scored around 8 goals, isn't he?
Wilson's young enough.
He's 23, I'd say, 22.
Yeah, I mean, he's at an age now where he should be playing in the Premier League,
I thought he got him.
Liverpool, there was talks he was going to stay at Liverpool and fight for his, like, a first team spot, but how he did not join a Premier League team is beyond me.
Yeah, he looked very good.
Like a West Brom league, you said.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe that'll be the plan for Liverpool if they don't see him long term playing for them, if he goes and does really, really well for Cardiff. His price suddenly shoots up and they can flog him for, you know, 20, 25 million to somebody.
It's mad how he didn't get that move to the Premier League.
Yeah, it's crazy, but Cardiff will be happy to have him. And Cardiff and Bournemouth, both teams really having good seasons so far.
Yeah.
But they'll be happy with that. Thank God for penalties in the next one's all I can say. QPR, nil, Preston 2. Johnson Sinclair with the penalties. Eze was back at QPR. I don't know how he was allowed in the ground, but he was. He was there watching the match at his old club. Evan Friend, the first penalty was a bizarre one, but again, I know we talk about VAR getting things, you know, wrong or right or whatever, but it's great to see when two officials just talk to each other and get the decision right.
Yeah, that's what we ran about last
week. The goal was about 2 yards in the box. It was clearly inside the penalty box.
But we ran about that last week.
Yeah, the referee was behind it and he gave a free kick. And the linesman was communicating. You could see the referee listening in his earpiece. And the linesman was telling him it was inside the box. And I think you could almost see the ref moaning it was inside the box. The linesman, and the linesman obviously told him it was, and then he changed his mind and gave the penalty, which was a penalty. So it was fair play to the officials for changing their mind without the need of VAR.
That's a big thing, right?
Big huge thing, Jesus. VAR at the Championship, lads.
It would ruin it, ruined.
Yeah, so DJ Johnson got the goal there from that penalty. Sinclair with the one later on. Sinclair's 450th game, apparently, in professional football last night as well. So, well done to him. That's some amount of games he's after racking up for a guy that, you know...
Did he play with Man City all
the time? He did, yeah.
He was all over the show. But, honestly, like, Adamoa, nearer the end, had broke through for QPR. And he shot wide, kind of clipped the outside the post. But other than that, it looked like if the teams were still playing right now and still playing into next week, they weren't going to score from open play.
Yeah,
they just looked really bad. Maguire was off the bench for their new Danish striker. He did well. He won the first penalty, but he had a chance as well where he must have been about 7 yards out when it fell to him, and he put it about 26 yards wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a strange one because neither team looked like they were going to score goals from open play last night, and Preston really seemed like they're never going to score from open play. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, they just look
really, really struggling.
They look so sluggish and kind of lacking energy.
Yeah.
It's like they play the wrong kind of football for who they have up front. At times it seems. When they have Maguire up front, and we know Maguire is going to fight and he's going to battle for everything. But Maguire is not a big man. And they seem to launch the ball up towards his head for some reason.
Yeah, it makes sense. And
expect him to be able to do something with it. Now, the Danish lad is a bit taller, so maybe he'll have more luck with that. But it seems to be when Brown and Maguire, you know, whoever, where they interplay and it lets the wingers, Barkhuizen or Sinclair or somebody, go beyond the forward. That seems to be when they're most dangerous. But they don't seem to be doing that enough this season.
Yeah.
And, like, they have a good manager, lads. Like, Preston, he's a great manager,
QPR having a bit of an up and down season, like you'd say, Phil. They kind of seem to win one, lose one.
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah.
You know? And Preston, though, are starting to put a bit of a run together, as they can do.
They're very good away. Preston are very good away.
very good away, can't win at home. So that's what they lost home the weekend. They'd won away to Brentford, won away to QPR. And I was watching there, I was looking at some of the press comments last night after the game from the fans and that, and they were saying it would be great if we could just play all our games away from home.
Yeah.
They can't seem to play at home this season. But they can't seem to lose away from home. So
yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what will happen with Preston this season? They're always that team that could win 10 in a row and then lose the next six.
So that's it. Exactly.
One of those teams. They need to be a bit more consistent. Sheffield Wednesday against Brentford. Boney, who was a massive surprise, he was even starting after the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I think even Brentford were surprised that he came back.
Yeah.
Two more goals for him. Patterson for Wednesday with a wonderful header as well. Brentford looked really good going forward in the game. Really, I was impressed with them.
Scored 4 or 5 easily.
Yeah, and Tony again though, 3 games in a row now he's scored 2 goals. Will he ever get a hat trick?
He was so close yesterday.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's 7 goals in his last 4 games.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even just his all round play yesterday was.
He's so dangerous.
Yeah.
And he has, like, I don't know how Brentford do it, but I mean, I know it's there. They put so much on this statistics and all that about the players rather than, you know, how well they seem to look.
Yeah.
It's more on the chances they take, which is why they went for Tony, because there must have been something in the stats that showed them that he was going to be able to do this, because he just looks so like Ollie Watkins at last season. And when he's through on goal, you just think it's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that he's going to score a goal.
Yeah, and it's
amazing that the way they do that. And teams are kind of playing catch up a little bit with Brentford. And you look at the manager as well, and they were talking about this a bit last night in the game as well, that Vic Eaton, his first 10 games, I think it was his 50th game last night or something, I think he lost 8 of his first 10 games in charge of Brentford. And they drew one and won one, I think, in his first 10 matches.
Yeah.
They've only lost 6 games since then under him.
Yeah.
And some of them were at the end of last season. So there's something about them. And if you look at the guy he replaced, he's not doing too bad at Aston Villa either.
Yeah.
Well, statistics, like, as you said, Ivan Toney, lads, he's a serious player. Like, he's close to 100 goals in the English Football League, and he's only 24, I should say, sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Even with Northampton, you know, Peterborough, he's close to 100 goals, like, which is an incredible stat.
And he is such a handful. He really is.
Yeah.
But they couldn't kill the game off, which they'll probably be worried about a little bit. De Silva, again, had one of those games where he's a bit hot and cold in it. There was a few times he probably could have picked out Tony, but didn't.
Yeah.
Seems like the final ball forward. Maybe missing Benarama a little bit in those moments.
Yeah, big time.
And in terms of Sheffield Wednesday, they were always in the game. They never really gave up. Very impressed with them. I mean, can they pull off the great escape? I mean, they're looking really good.
They could if they keep going the way they're going, definitely.
Yeah, I think, is it Luton they have at the weekend?
They're
playing at the weekend. Like, I'll have a look ahead there. Yeah, they're home to Luton at the weekend.
Yeah,
I think they could win as well, you know? So, in a game that probably we didn't expect goals to be in, Stoke 2, Barnsley 2.
Yeah.
Simons and Fraser twice put Barnsley in front. Campbell and Smith with the equalisers for Stoke. Who had to play the last half an hour, 10 men, after Collins got sent off for an off-the-ball incident. Didn't quite see it. Looked like maybe an elbow to the face.
As you do.
Didn't quite see it, though. It was off the ball, and as is the case, sometimes in the Championship, you don't get to see very many replays or close-ups of what actually happened.
Yeah, even the guys on the show, their quest, didn't know what happened. They actually didn't know what happened.
Can only suspect it was an elbow or something. Yeah. The referee saw something, because he had no doubt he sent off. And to be fair, I don't think the player had too many complaints themselves, so he obviously knew he'd done something.
Knew he did something wrong, yeah.
So Barnsley, I suppose, Stoke have to be happy enough with a point, even though they kind of dominated the game probably up until sending off, but twice they had to come from behind after Barnsley hit them a little bit on the break. But last half hour, Barnsley were kind of on top, even though Stoke probably still had the best chance of the game.
Yeah.
But a decent result for both teams, I suppose.
Yeah, Barnsley are really, really impressing me the last 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
I actually thought they were screwed.
Yeah, unbeaten since the manager left, since Cooper left.
And their forward was scoring. It was just another weird thing.
Yeah, which is a big thing as well. Which is very good, in fact.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they climb out of relegation as well. They move ahead of Derby.
Yeah.
On goal difference. Albeit three draws for Barnsley, though.
Big Mick is coming.
Big Mick is coming.
If they can just get a couple of wins on the board, though, they haven't won yet this season.
Yeah.
Three draws. They seem to be draw specialists. And then a game last night to finish up the weekend's act, or the midweek action, was one that was a classic case of one team taking their chances, the other team not taking the millions they had.
My favourite game.
Blackburn Rovers won. Crazy, wasn't it? Pedro having a great start.
Five all.
Yeah, Pedro having a great start for Watford. Cleverly and Elinhin OG. Brereton got a goal for Blackburn, which is unbelievable. Armstrong missed a penalty, which is a bit unlike him. Blackburn, I just don't know how they lost this one 3-1, because they must have had four times the chance as Watford did.
Yeah, and the keeper Ben Foster was unbelievable.
I think Watford had four shots on target and scored three goals.
Yeah, man. I think
Blackburn had over 20 shots, not all on target, and only got the one.
Yeah. So
it's just the way it is in this division. If you don't take your chances, you're in trouble.
And Harvey Elliott started as well for Blackburn.
He looked good, lads. He looked very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Watford gave the ball away a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Sarr played pretty well, actually. Sarr started last night, played well, had a hand in at least one of the goals.
Yeah.
He looks like he's just ready to get his head down and at least until January play away for them.
He's getting fit for his Liverpool move.
That's it. That's it. So Blackburn again. No, Blackburn are in a bit of a slump at the moment. Haven't started so well.
Yeah. Linehan used to play for Cork City, didn't he?
Who?
Different guy, I think.
No, that was Brian. Yeah, Brian played a Hull, and he retired there.
Retired early. Watford, though, Watford flying it again this season. And, you know, they have to be up there now amongst one of the favourites as well, because they have started so well.
Yeah.
So, we'll go quickly through these. Goal of the games?
I actually say Reading.
Reading for you?
Yeah. And a special mention to the Coventry goal as well.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Coventry goal, all right. Jordan's goal. Yeah. Shipley, great goal.
Yeah.
It was. That would have been one of mine too. But I'm going to give it to the guy we just talked about. Brereton at Blackburn. The way he took the ball down his chest and volleyed it in was sensational. Performance of the week, best player for you?
Best player, Ivan
Tony.
Yeah, Ivan Tony, without a doubt. Two goals, plus a hat-trick on form. Has to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tony as well. I'm giving it to him twice in a row now. So maybe he'll get the hat-trick of me thinking he's the best player in the games if he can score an actual hat-trick. Yeah. But a few other players obviously played very well in those games as well. And what about the team performance?
Millwall, yeah.
Yeah, Millwall, I think, for me, were so impressive.
Yeah.
And the shock? If there was a shock?
Blackburn losing 3-1, I think.
That was a bit of a shock. For me, I'm going to go with Middlesbrough winning away at Bristol City.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I suppose... Yeah, tricky one. I suppose the result, Watford... Even though Watford are a great side, I'm going to say Watford winning 3-1.
Watford won as well, yeah. The scoring. I mean, it was a bit of a shock. If you were to look at the stats, you'd say there's no way Watford won that game. So we're going to fly through these. Now, Friday night's game, Nottingham Forest Derby. 2-0 Forest. I'm going to go with a 1-0 Forest win in that one. Saturday, Watford, Bournemouth.
Watford.
Yeah, Watford.
1-0.
2-1.
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw on that one. Huddersfield. Home to Preston. Preston away from home.
A draw. 1-1.
1-1.
2-0 to Huddersfield.
2-0 to Huddersfield. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Preston in that one, because they're not playing at home. QPR home to Birmingham. Tough one.
I think QPR 1-0.
Yeah.
1-1.
1-1. Yeah, I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw in that one. And Norwich against Wickham.
Norwich 2-0.
Do you know what? Wickham 2-1.
Yeah, a sneaky suspicion Wickham could win this one, but I'm still going to stick with Norwich to win 2-0. Reading, home to Rotherham.
Again.
Reading 2-1.
1-1 for Derry, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Reading to sneak it. I'll join Phil 2-1 there. Cardiff home to Middlesbrough. Two teams flying at the moment.
2-2.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a one-all draw there. Sheffield Wednesday, home to Luton. We spoke about it briefly already.
3-0 Wednesday.
3-0 Wednesday. Oh, you're putting the hammer into poor old Luton.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for Wednesday to win it 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 as well, Steve. I like it.
Yeah, Bristol City, home to Swansea.
Good game.
Swansea 2-1. Swansea 2-1.
Yeah, you think Bristol City, two defeats in a row?
Yeah.
3-1 Swansea.
3-1 Swansea. I'm going to go for probably a 1-1 draw there. Millwall home to Barnsley.
1-0 to Millwall.
McCarthy Derby.
1-0 Millwall.
1-0 Millwall.
McCarthy who absorbed the game. Barnsley to win 2-0.
2-0 to Barnsley. I'm going to go for Millwall to win that one 2-1. Coventry home to Blackburn.
Great game.
Coventry 2-1.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Blackburn to win a 2-1. I'll go to reverse.
Yeah, I was 2-1 Blackburn as well. Definitely.
Stoke, home to Brentford.
Cracker.
Brentford 2-1.
2-1 to Brentford, yeah. Yep. Tony with two.
Yeah. Well, he'll get 1.
2-0 to Stoke.
2-0 to Stoke, yeah. I'm going to go for Brentford to win this one 3-2. Loads of goals and Tony to finally get his hat-trick. So, there we go, guys. So, looking forward to the weekend games.
Bring it on. Can't wait.
I suppose Friday night has to be the pick of the games, the big derby.
Yeah. It's going to be a classic. I think it's all there for the taking.
Yeah.
Great stuff. So we'll be back with you again after the weekend games. I don't think there's any on Sunday this week. So we will have that podcast out for you on Monday.
Yeah.
So until then, guys, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you, guys.